If you have a dream, hold on to the dreamer. Fill yourself up with music and light. Reach out to spirit. Trust in the dream, both day and night.
And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We have a very special guest. She was on a few months ago. I call those repeat offenders. They're back on the show because they have so much knowledge to send. Her name is Debbie Anderson, and she was born in England, and she's a natural healer who has worked in the magical sphere of spirituality all her life, a clairvoyant medium who now lives in Canada and has been doing intuitive spiritual readings for more than 35 years around the world. And Debbie is here to discuss her technique called vibrational energy therapy, and she has courses online and so on. And so Debbie was on the show promoting her new affirmation decks, I Am Vibrational and I Am Sacred. So if anyone wants to check that out, we can send you a link. You know, we can listen to the end of the show and we can talk a little bit about that. Well, welcome, Debbie. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Amy. I love that. Repeat offender. I truly love to have a label now. And it's nothing associated with drugs or violence or anything illegal, but it's illicit. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I call people. I've had people on the show 2, 3, 4 times, and they love when I say that because it's like, it's a compliment to me. You want to be back on the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. It's a compliment to me as well. An absolute honor, in fact, to come back on again.
Yes, it's, well, I love the first show we did. I thought, vibrational energy therapy. You know, I do integrated energy therapy, which is healing with the angels. So I like to inform people and our listeners about different ways that they can have integrated modalities, healing modalities. So I thought, vibrational therapy, what the heck's that? So Debbie, tell us a little bit more about your background. I know we talked about it in the previous show, but we covered it briefly in the intro. So tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are now.
Well, I'm a clairvoyant medium, as you said. And of course, people sort of say, well, you're born that way. And I suppose in a way, I was born psychic, like everybody is psychic. When we connect into that vibration and understand that, oh my gosh, it makes life so much easier. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a society where everything's about labels and certificates and you have to be this or that or whatever. So I think we sometimes get lost in the that vibration of what should I be? You know, I need to learn this. Well, everybody that's listening, you have this inside you already, just like me. The difference is I went on to hone those skills. And I went on to hone those skills so I could share with other people, like yourself, like Amy and everybody else that's had readings with me or shares my weekly readings, that kind of thing. But everybody has it in the within themselves to actually ask their own questions. So, yes, I was sort of born with it, but we all are. Did I become a clairvoyant overnight? No, that took some years and, as I say, honing my skills. But it was always there, like with everybody. And, you know, you just keep working with it every day. We were just talking earlier on before we came on about the way spirits send us little messages and little prompts and things like that. And that's exactly what we need to be open to, and not with our listening ears, with our heart ears, because our listening ears become the confusion. You can't do that. That's the consciousness. The heart is the subconscious or the unconsciousness. I always say it's like the consciousness of love. And that's what we need to connect with. So I didn't want to bore everybody that's listened before. I'm like, oh gosh, we've heard all this before. Don't babble on. Just get to the stuff, the crux of everything we want to hear.
That's okay. We're both passionate about what we do, you know. And I like to say, you know, I might be psychic or psychotic. I still don't know the difference. I'm just kidding. But
I think it's just a few letters. That's it.
You know, you just sometimes you get these messages. am I psychotic? What the hell's going on? Anyway, I'm just telling you, I had a recent experience with that. I'm like, and it's like, no, you're picking up correctly. You know?
Oh,
well, it's just a situation from my past, from my past that I felt was trying to plug into me. And plugging in, he's getting deplugged right now, unplugged, and he's going to get...
Absolutely. You know. Cut those ties, chop them up, and bury the bugger.
Yes.
But not in a literal sense for anyone who's listening in. We're not committing an actual crime here, but it's very important, especially this year. I know we're getting off subject a little bit, but this year, especially 2020, is all about I am. And that's about you and me and everybody that's listening. That is your frequency, and that is what we need to tap into. And anything that's hanging on or trying to drag us down in a negative way, get rid of them. And for any of you saying, yeah, but they're family, I can't. So engage with them less. Engage with them on your terms. You know, there are ways around everything. And so, you know, don't ever think you're trapped in that way. And especially past hurts and past pains and past experiences, you know, when we accept people are in our life for a reason, a season or a lifetime, and then we let that go, it's best. And do it. Yeah. So good for you, girlfriend.
Well, yeah, it wasn't somebody that I was planning to reach out, but I felt like I was to do it for him. But he decided to take it another step further, which I did not. That was not my intention of reconciling or get back with him. I just wanted him to see how he was. And he took it to the next level. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm not interested in that. You are way back in the past. Yeah, I know. But, you know, I feel like how people, and that's why maybe this is good. The healing modality that you teach is good to severing those ties. And, you know, helping people break free of that, because now I have all my healer girlfriends are working on me. We're going to get rid of that MF, or, you know.
Absolutely. And, of course, when what we forget is how powerful we are in our energy. And sometimes that comes about because people have continually kept us contained or kept us compressed or kept us down with the things they say and the way they act. Or the way they supposedly love us. And that is, I'm talking about love in the way of not just those in a physical love connection. I'm talking about those friends, our partnerships with our family and that kind of thing. Yeah. That, you know, that love is a different vibration. But sometimes people feel that if they are keeping us down, they are in control. So we've let them take our power. And, you know, we just have to, I always say, you know, like you see a peacock. And I don't know if I've used this analogy before with you, but when you see a peacock, when it's just walking around in its natural state, its tail's down, its beautiful peacock feathers are just trailing behind it in the ground. And it's usually has its neck sort of bent over and just enjoying life, maybe pecking away at what's in front of it and eating and stuff like that. But when it comes into danger or it comes into a point where it needs to go, hey, you need to just step back. It pushes, it brings its feathers up and then it sprays them out in this beautiful fan and it stands very upright in a quite imposing way that if you, you know, a bit like a swan, when it stands up and it opens its wings, you stand back and go, okay, this is maybe not a good time to push with this person or with this animal. Maybe I just need to step back and give them their space. Well, that's what we need to do in ourselves. And the way we do that is we push out our aura. For anybody that's listening that doesn't understand about an aura, that's that beautiful bubble that we have that covers us. That's those times when we go into a situation and we're going, oh, this feels really great. And our bubble, our aura expands out and pushes out and then touches other people and they feel great too and so on. Or we could go into a situation, we go, whoa, this feels yucky or icky or I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. Well, follow that aura feeling and get the heck out of there right away. So when we're pushing out in our power, our aura, all we're doing that is in love. And what we're doing is we're visualizing this love expanding out and out. So just see that bubble, whatever color you want to have it, clear, transparent, gold, whatever color you want to put around you. And feel it like pushing out above you, underneath you, around you, until it expands further and further out, so that anything that is not wanting to have in your world, like whether it's a lover or a negative person, a control person, you will actually see them bouncing back, getting further away from you. And it's such a simple thing. It's just a visualization technique. And each time as you're doing it, you're breathing in and taking in that love. And then as you breathe it out, then your bubble just goes out further. It goes further and further and further as you expand out. So that's a great way of what I call keeping people at bay, or keeping situations at bay, or keeping those negative influences away from you. Because unless you want to own them, let them go. You know, I think we, especially women, sorry, gentlemen, if you're listening, this is not a slight against men, but women seem to be born with that chaotic sense of we carry the guilt. Now, I know there are many men out there who are very sensitive and open to this, and they're feeling that same. So it's that female energy. And not that female and male should be different, because we need to have both those elements of us in balance. The yin, the yang, the night, the day, the winter, the summer, the male, the female. And I can remember many, many years ago working in corporate world and coming across somebody who was very verbally violent. And they were verbally violent to their workers who were in fear of them. And sadly, one day they came and they were verbally violent to me. And I say sadly, not for me, but for them. And I just stood there, and when they had finished, I responded in exactly the same way they had to me. And the expression on their face, the shock that came over. And then the person said to me, "You're being very aggressive." I said, "Yes, now you know how it feels." I said, "This is what you do to everyone when you can't get your own way or something's not going right." And I said, "So instead of you getting people wanting to work with you, everybody avoids you." I said, "There is a different way you can do this." And of course, they just sat. And of course, it was male and I'm a female. And of course, everybody around me is like, "Oh my God, what's just happened here? Like somebody's actually shouted back at this senior person in the company." Like, you know, they're all going, "Well, it was nice knowing her. She's probably out of here in a few minutes anyway. So, you know, what the heck? Let's just stand and watch." You know, and this was, of course, in the days without cell phones. So thankfully, nobody recorded it. But the person just stood and looked at me and then said to my office. So, of course, again, everybody else is like, "Oh, my gosh, this is it. You know, we're going to see her carrying a little box out with her stuff in it." And I stood really proud. I did my peacock thing. I pushed my feathers out and I stood really like, what? Because I'm like, all I was doing was standing up to that person. I wasn't trying to belittle them, but as they had belittled me, I gave that energy back to them and they actually felt it. And when we got behind closed doors, they said, "You know, you embarrass me." And I said, "But you actually embarrass me." So I said, "You know, I know you're the boss, but, you know, what you were doing was totally wrong. And if you want me to leave, you're firing me, fine. I'm okay with that. But I truly think we've made a breakthrough here." And he just sat back down in his desk and sort of did the, "What the..." with me. And I sat down because I thought at that time I was standing up, he'd sat down. So, you know, that concept of when somebody's standing there above and so forth. And I didn't want him to, because he'd already sat down, and I was sort of waiting there for my cards to be given to me. And, you know, "Thank you very much. It was nice knowing you." So at that point I sat down and I said to him, "There is a better way, you know. And the whole idea is we're all working on the same team." And we had that whole conversation. And afterwards, I was in there about half an hour with him. And when I came out, I could see everybody like looking at me and then dropping their heads like, "She's fired." And of course, I'm coming out with a big beaming smile on my face. And I said, "I think we need to openly, in front of everybody, apologize to each other." And of course, his face was like, "Oh." I said, "No, truly." I said, "We need to do that." So I walked out and we walked back into sort of the production area where everybody was, and he walked behind me and I said, can I have everybody's attention, please? And, like, and again, they're like, oh, here we go. This is going to be the, she's telling us she's been fired and he's just going to confirm it. So I said, I want to apologize. And then I said to the person's name and everybody just like, oh! And then he said, and I apologize to you too.
Oh,
and
wow.
You could feel this wave go across the whole production floor. It's almost like whispers. And then he went back to where he was and I went back to where I was. And of course I knew my office door was going to have this knock, knock, knock on and everybody wanting to talk to me. So I had the, you know, what I call my out of order sign on the door, do not disturb. Because I thought, I don't want to get into the what happened, why it happened and all the rest. I wanted it finished.
Right.
And, you know, and that was it, because you don't need to go into, you know, analysis paralysis, as I call it, into the why, you know, all this and, you know, good on you or, you know, what happened, that kind of thing, because it was totally irrelevant. What I wanted myself to appreciate was I don't have to be bullied by anybody.
Yeah.
So at that point, I had to trust in spirit that they were putting me in this situation for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something in our lives when we have these, what I call defining moments. And I don't mean, you know, anything other than every moment in our life can be defining. And we can either shy away from it or we can stand up. Mm-hmm. And we're in that whole vibration now. We're not going to accept the crapola that people are going to throw at us. We're not going to accept all the excuses or the BS, as I it. Our whole vibration is shifted. And it was coming up to this since 2010. This has been happening. When you think of it, 2010 to 2020, that's 10 years. But we needed that time to adjust and realign ourselves and create our frequency. And any of you out there that say, yeah, but I'm not anywhere near you are, where you are, you're where you exactly where you need to be exactly at this moment in your life, in this time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody's above or below. Yep. We're all on our own separate journey.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And maybe
we all
your
are.
Journey is one thing and somebody else is something else. So don't keep trying to align yourself to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is sometimes where we fail for ourselves.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying we fail. We don't give ourselves what we appreciate and get. You know, sometimes we feel crappy. You know, I always say, okay, so you have a blue day, you have a down day. Let it just ride. You don't have to step into that vibration. Just let it be. Maybe it's a day you need to contemplate and rest and regather your thoughts, as it were.
So
think of it as a punishment or something like that, which I have done, and I still do occasionally to myself. You know, I've had days where I wake up and I'm like, oh, gosh, everything seemed like yesterday. Like, wow, it's happening. Wow, I'm getting there. And then the next day is like, I'm flat. Like, oh, my gosh, did I just lift myself up for no reason? And I just hear in my ear, stop that. Stop that.
Exactly.
You're just having a day today. And this is the balance. This is what I say to people. We can't be in total elevation of joy and bliss all the time. We do have to experience that other side because that's life. You know, think of a heart monitor in a hospital. And the when the heartbeat is in natural, it goes up and down and beep, 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 beep. And that's life. We have these ups and downs and ups and downs. That's living. When we flatline, everything is the same. That is exactly it. We die.
Yep.
And so when we get into the vibration of going, okay, so today is a poopy day. Everything's not going the way it should be, or it's not doing what I want it, or it's not like yesterday, which was a woohoo day. Just go, okay, so maybe I'm supposed to rest today. Maybe I'm supposed to eat ice cream and watch funny movies. Maybe I'm just supposed to go out in the sun or go out and jump in the puddles. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. Go with it. And I think when we get into that, we don't fight it as much. I'm sorry, I'm totally off the subject, I think.
That's okay, because, you know, when you asked me about the experience, I just, when we opened the show, I felt I was to be the messenger for this person, just to say, hey, thinking of you, but don't think I want you back, because I know they're in a crappy situation, which they have not moved on.
Yeah.
And but again, I don't want you back. Yeah.
And that was not only brave of you, and anybody that's doing this, there's a bravery inside of you, because it's like, I want to help this person, but they need to help themselves.
Exactly. And so you're in a marriage of 20 years that's shitty. I'm going to say the word shitty. And you keep going from what I'm, you know, you've contacted me prior because you were back and forth with her, and I was your first girlfriend. And we had our own problems, by the way. So you are now trying to hold on to something, but you're not free. And I'm not one of those women that is going to accept your bullshit. Okay? Yeah. I don't accept you staying in a marriage. You come to me free. But even then, I don't even know if I want you back, because you were stupid then, and I think you're stupid now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I was in a marriage for 20 years, and sadly it was a violent one on occasion, where, you know, alcohol was involved and control and things like that. So I needed to go through that experience to break free of it. So, you know, for anybody that knows me, I don't share that very often, because people sometimes say to me, oh, you're always so happy, you're always so this and that, and going, you know what, until you've walked a mile in my moccasins, don't tell me you think you know me. I choose to be in this vibration like you do, Amy. You've chosen that vibration. You've moved away from it. It was an experience. I went from victim to victor. I chose to do that.
Exactly. And I mean, Yeah, I mean,
and I think we all have that.
We all have that. Yeah.
We need to accept those experiences. And, you know, somebody, you know, was going through, I was sitting down with somebody and they were going through their life. And I, for some reason, opened up about mine and my childhood and all the things that went on. And we just looked at each other and we burst into tears. And I said, you know, that was very cathartic for both of us. And I've never shared this so openly with somebody that hasn't been a very, very close friend. And I said, that divine moment that we were put there together was for that reason. And I said, and we embrace that and we move with it, because both of us have done our healing. But that sharing brought it to the next level, as it was. So I think that's beautiful. And, you know, for anybody out there, I always say, so crap went on in your childhood. You had a crappy marriage, a crappy relationship, but now you have a choice.
You have a choice.
And stay in that vibration. You stay in that vibration. And if so, then do so. That is your choice. But you do have the choice to move out of it. You truly do.
You do. And, you know, financially, fine, whatever. You know, he has a very good job. Whatever. You know, you have to sometimes sever, and he's got a daughter who's in her teens. What example are you doing for your daughter staying in this situation? And it was like with my parents, I used to beg them to divorce. I'm like, would you guys divorce? Because there was alcoholism. There was abuse. Yeah. There was physical violence in the household that I witnessed. And it impacted me. Maybe that's why I'm not ready, you know, going to get married again. Because, you know, I was just talking to a client about this. I don't want to live my parents' lives, and I haven't. There was one relationship that was like my parents, and that woke me up.
Yeah. I think sometimes we align ourselves. It's like sometimes when people keep going into the same type of relationship again and again, at some point we wake up. And I hope for anybody out there that may be going through that, because when I left that relationship, I walked away from everything financially and abuse and all of those kind of things. And you know what I was hearing from people? How could you leave your lovely home? How could you? And I'm like, you really are not getting it. This is not about the stuff.
No, it's not. It's about, okay, so you're in a crappy relationship. Your health is going to be compromised. You know, I would rather have myself and my health and I can rebuild. I can rebuild. Yeah. We're still young enough to rebuild here. But if you're going to choose to stay in that crap, that I can't help you. And that's what I think I came to. I was like, I can't help you. You are deciding to stay in this. I was in a bad marriage, but I bided my time the last 2 to 3 years because my father was sick and I knew I was going to leave. And once my father died, I was like, screw this. You're I'm going moving on. And I did.
Yeah.
And I got divorced. I left the state of New York. I moved down to Florida. I even severed ties with my mother and my two sisters because of the abuse that I had gone through with my narcissistic mother. God bless her. She's where she's at, but she, you know, I had cut all ties. I mean, I changed my phone number, didn't have an address for a long time. I was a P.O. box because I had to walk away from that. That took a lot for me to do, but I, you know, and I've done a lot of healing work on it. I don't resent them. They brought me in, but I chose to leave the entrance ramp of that. They I came through them, but I chose to go into another destination. I only came through
that. Absolutely. And this is something that years down the line, people that know or knew of what had been happening in my life and know me, and I said, I have forgiven him. I have released him with love, because if I don't, if I don't do that for myself, I will forever be dragging that with me.
Exactly.
Like the law of the garbage truck. You want to chuck it in the back there and carry it with you until it's so full you can't even move forward? That's your choice. But as soon as you let it go, and with love, because a lot of people say, how could you forgive him? Because if I don't, then I carry it forward. And, you know, there are people in life that I call loopers.
Okay, and let's talk about spiritual loopers, I believe.
Yeah, spiritual looper, because this is where, you know, we've all had these friends, or we've been that friend, okay? So I'm not saying I'm outside of that circle, because I'm sure I've been a looper at some point. And that's when the person comes to you, they're talking to you, they're going through all these troubles that are going on in their life, and you're there either assisting them, and maybe, you know, they're saying, I need some advice and things like that. And then they go away. And then we leave them to that. And then they maybe leave that relationship and then go back into another relationship. And it's the same. And then, or the same situation or whatever it is, or they're not going to change anything. They talk about it, but they don't want to change it. So eventually we get to that point in our own frustration. Either that's a frustration of like, why the heck are you not getting this? Or are you so whatever? Oh my gosh. So we get into our own frustration with them, because either they're not seeing it, or they just keep, as you say, repeat offenders, but not in a positive way, in a negative way. So what I always say to people at that point is, don't bring on the frustration from their experience into your life now. That time will come when you will just sit with that person again, and they'll start reeling off this same story, maybe with a different person or a different job or whatever, but it's the same story looping round. And at that point, I say nothing more than I hug them and I say, I'm sure you're going to work it out. Because I'm not going to give them any more advice. I'm not going to get caught up in that vibration myself. I'm not going to let my frustration build up within me, because we do that. You know, we'll come away from a situation, we're like, oh my God, how could they still be doing this? And then we get frustrated, and then we get, and we move into that shift with them, even though it's not our thing. It's like, well, how can they be, you know, allow this to happen to them? Well, how can they? So by hugging them, whether that's virtually or in a physical way, and just, you know, it's almost like the there. I'm sure you'll work this out. I'm sure you'll get the answers. So you're not enabling them.
Right.
And then we step back from it, and they can keep looping as many times as they like. But the next time they come to us with that same loop, we're not going to feel that anxiety. We're not going to feel that, how can I fix this? How can I make it better for them?
Exactly.
So that's what I mean by loopers. We've been them and we've seen them. And again, more so for women than men, we want to try and make it right. You know, like, let's put the Band-Aid on the scuffed knee, give them a hug, and everything will be okay. But until they move into their own frequency of acknowledging where they are in that loop and what they're adding to it. Like you were saying with this relationship, you've stepped out of the loop. Yep. Now that person can loop around, keep doing the same thing over and over again, same type of relationship, same kind of thing, but now you're watching from the outside.
Exactly, and that's what I had to remove. So we are with Debbie Anderson today. She is our special guest, and we will be right back after this commercial break where we're going to be talking about vibrational energy therapy. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life, thinking of getting a new job, wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only.
And this is Amy Toy with Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We have a very special guest, Debbie Anderson, who is going to tell us a little bit more about vibrational energy. In the first half of the show, we've got we had some personal experiences we shared, but that may help somebody out there today. So, Debbie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about this vibrational energy. What is it? I know it's a healing modality. Like I said, I like to educate my listeners about it. So, is this something you discovered on your own, or how did?
Well,
what is it?
It was actually something I discovered on my own. But before we step into that, what we need to remember is vibrational energy is it. A whole world vibrates and moves. It shifts like all over the place. We're happy, we're sad, we're calm, we're angry. All of those emotions vibrate on their own channel. It's like listening to the radio station. Sometimes we find we're tuned into the golden oldies, and sometimes we're not. It's crackly and just not working for us. So this is everything in and around us. Everything is vibrating at its own frequency. That's like sometimes we can, as we said, you know, we'll be somewhere and we just know it's great and we want to be with those people, or we don't want to be with those people. So when we realize that vibrational energy is exactly that, it's like this energetic field that surrounds us. I called it an aura earlier on. We're in that. Okay, we're in that emitting our own frequency. So vibrational energy therapy that I created was actually a connection between touch, sound, and color. And when it came to me, and I say came to me, I woke up one morning and my husband, who is not an early riser, he's not somebody that's in that great vibration straight off the bat. He needs his coffee and his time to contemplate and wake up, as he calls it. Whereas I'm that sort of out of the gate running kind of thing. So I said to him, can I just do what I experienced last night, learned on you? And he's sort of sitting on the bed and, you know, he's used to this with me. He's a past life regressionist, so it's not anything really new kind of thing. But so he said, well, okay. So he sat there. I said, well, just close your eyes and just be there, you know, in the intention. So I started to do this touching and tapping and scrolling on. I call it scrolling, like moving my hands in and around. And it's just on the head down to the bottom of the torso, so where our bottom is, and then it's on that whole area there, our arms, our hands, and the head area. So I did this, and of course, I'm going, he said, well, what is it? And I said, I don't know. I haven't even contemplated that part. It was just shown it last night. I said, but how do you feel? He said, I feel awake. I feel balanced. I feel great. So I said, oh, thank you very much. And at that point, I hadn't got the sound and the color part of it. So that came a little bit later with it. So it was like, okay, so it's basically six different movements working on the upper body. As I said, the head, the arms, and the hands. And it's just gentle touch. So what that's doing is allowing the energy field to clear any fog, as I call it, spiritual fog, physical fog, whatever. Because sometimes we wake up or we're feeling groggy, or maybe we have a headache, or we're feeling sort of, oh gosh, you know, that clogged up, as I call it. And it just shifts and moves it. What it's doing, I found out, is working on the meridian points of the body. And so if you, for anybody that's listening that knows about their chakras, it works on them, but not specifically. Because if anybody's looked at an acupressure chart, you'll see a human body there with the arms splayed out and the legs splayed out and all these little dots on it. And for anybody that does reflexology or anything like that, they'll know that there's pressure points on all the different parts of the body, that if we touch, say, our toe, it can affect our kidneys and so forth. So when we understand that this vibration of us has all these different body parts, physical body parts, that are all interconnected through these meridian points, then it makes it slightly easier to understand, i.e. we're not, you know, for many years before I realized that this was something that helped, was if I got a cold, I was feeling very bunged up, I would place my two pointy fingers, as I call it, on the ridge of my nose and then just swipe them down the sides of my nose and out across my cheeks. And anybody that's done that, you know that what happens is it relieves, it decongests. And I didn't know till many, many years later that that is a technique that's actually used. So when we do things naturally, just do it. You know, like sometimes people will, you know, stroke their forehead or, you know, place their hands on their head and sort of gently massage their scalp. Or, you know, one of my favorite ones is I always, if I've got a headache, I always put my thumb in what I call the little denty piece at the back of your head there, that little indent, and then gently massage that. And that relieves the headache. But these are things that we tend to do naturally. Like anybody that's had children, you know, the kid, as I say, scuffs their knee, they come running in. And usually it's just that soothing, calming energy that we emit that we don't necessarily know it's happening. We pick the child up, we, you know, look at the knee that's scuffed and we bathe it and we hug them and then we put the Band-Aid on and then they go back. Now, we haven't healed anything, fixed anything, because the scuff is still there, but they feel better because they have just, you know, the pain is still there. For anybody that, you know, when I was growing up, we used to, you know, the scabs on our knee, as you picked them after you'd done that, you know, dove into off your bike into the gravel kind of thing, and then you'd have those little pits that would eventually heal, but they would go into little scabby scars. And of course, you always had to pick them. So all of us know that they take a while to heal. As children growing up, we know they take a while to heal. But in that moment, that child has jumped off their parents' lap or whatever it is, and they've gone running back outside. So that has been a natural way that we, as a parent or caregiver or whomever in that instance has given that to that person. So without even realizing it, we've worked on their vibration. We've worked on their energy field. So going back to vibrational energy therapy, it incorporates, as I said, sound and color. And of course, if we go back to back in time, and especially look at the way that color plays an important part in our lives, it goes back in history to ancient Egyptian priests, where they believed that the sun had specific therapeutic benefits to restore health. Mm-hmm. So they would build like solarium rooms where they erected color panes of glass, and then they would allow the patient to be behind that or close to that. And what would happen is the sun would hit those rays, those colors, and it would emanate. And anybody that's been into a church which has stained glass windows, when the sun hits them and it comes out, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why stained glass is becoming such a thing, that people like to have stained glass in their homes. And if we have crystals, they create prisms when the sunlight hits them, which create colors. And it lifts us up. So that energy alone in color is so important. And, you know, today we if we think of our environment and see, you know, the colors that soothe us in Mother Nature alone, she's created so many wonderful things that blend into the background to create protection. And yet they're all magnificent in their color. They stimulate, they relax or invigorate. So, and color therapy has been used by many practitioners to assist healing emotions, motivating the mind, assisting the body, and so on and so on. And I think it's called chromotherapy, I think. So if I'm wrong on that, please don't, you know, cut me down. But so it works on healing power through color. So when I was given color in the respect, I'm going, okay, so how is this going to incorporate into this therapy? And what it does is actually, once the patient has, or I should say client, I don't say patient, sorry, once the client has experienced the 5 minutes, because that's all it takes for this therapy, 5 minutes of this, they're listening to a CD, which is a theta sound CD that I've created. So they're listening to this, they're having this wonderful 5 minutes of what I call boost of their energy. And then the completion of it, it's so wonderful, because I love the sort of afterwards when I'm talking to people, especially if they've experienced it the first time, you know, the question goes out to them on the completion is, what color do you see or sense? And usually they'll come out with a color, and then I give them this lovely little booklet which has all the different colors in it. And what I love about that is, because some people say, well, I saw orange, and orange isn't a color I like. I'm going, but read orange, and if it resonates with you, take it on board. And if it doesn't, you let it go. And then they'll read the definition of orange. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what's going on in my life at the moment. And so to me, that's further proof that we couldn't have said, because, you know, I see some people sitting there and they're going, I need to color, I need to choose a purple or blue color. I need to choose that, because I know that's very spiritual. And then all of a sudden they come out with brown or gray. And, you know, and I've had people say this afterwards. I wanted it to be blue or purple or violet or indigo, and what I call the higher chakra colors. And then they say, but I saw black. And I said, but black is the most beautiful color. It incorporates every single color in black. Whereas white is the emission of every color. So that's even beautiful. Like every color has its resonance with our body, with what's happening at that particular time when we're receiving that therapy. And I've actually had, when I teach this, and it is available as an online course now, but when I teach it, the students are all working with each other. And of course, they're continually working with each other. And some people say, but I see a different color each time. And I said, because that's a different vibration that's now coming through. You know, the first one was you shifted something, and then the second one shifted. They're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, they expected to see the same color every time. And I said, well, there's obviously a different resonance. And some people that have seen the same color again, I always say, well, then that's something really significant for you, like playing with a deck of cards and oracle cards or tarot cards, and you keep getting the same card, that's significant. There's something maybe you're not accepting, or it needs to resonate with you even more than it did before. So that's how the three elements are incorporated into what I've created as vibrational energy therapy. And some people use it with sound, with tuning forks, and some people use it with just color. And as I say, this is just another form. Now, what I love about this, for anybody that does any other kind of treatments, so whether it's massage or Reiki or reflexology, this therapy is such a quick fix one. Mm-hmm. That I love it. If I go to expos and things like that, and I'm doing readings, and sometimes I'll do just the therapy. Mm-hmm. And people come along, and I said, well, it's only 5 minutes. So I get, especially people that are working there, you know, maybe somebody that's doing healing or somebody that's doing psychic readings or something like that. They come and say, oh, gosh, I feel really clogged at the moment. I feel really foggy. Because, you know, when you go into these big expos and exhibitions and healing, things like that, there can be a mix of energy going on there. And it can be a little bit overwhelming for anybody that's working there. Plus, if there's not really what I call nice lighting, you know, these the tube lighting, it can also create a resonance around us. So for them to have like 5 minute tune up, it's great. And kids especially love this, because children do not have the ability to want to sit there for a long treatment. There's very few children. I know there are some out there that would love, you know, as a child, if I had got the offer of a massage, I'd have just laid there all day. I would have enjoyed it. But most kids, it's like, how long is this going to take and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. When I was in Australia many years ago, I was teaching this course, and I got the pleasure of staying at one of the person that was organizing that was also learning it at her home. As her guest. And the next morning we get up, and she said, oh, her son, who was about eight years old, I think he was then. And she said, oh, he's really in a sort of a grungy, you know, he's feeling very nauseously sick. And I said, oh, that's really, you know, such. I said, have you offered to do the vibration energy therapy? And she said, I did. But he said, no way. I said, but I thought he was open, you know, like she does Reiki, and, you know, she has a she had a metaphysical store and stuff like that. So this kid was immersed in this, and he loved crystals and stuff like that. So I said, oh, okay. So she said, yeah, sometimes he can be like that. So I said, well, let me have a chat with him. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to push the point, because that's down to the individual, as we know. So we were sitting there, and I said to him, I hear from Mum you're not feeling too good today. He said, yeah, I feel sort of a little bit nauseous. And he did look very gray. And I said, oh, maybe you've got a bit of a tummy upset. He said, yeah, I don't know what it is. So I said, would you let me do the vibrational energy therapy on you? So, of course, he said, well, what is it? And I explained it briefly. I said, but it's 5 minutes, you know, that's all. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure, do it. So Mum's sort of going, okay, good. So I finished the treatment, and I said to him, so how are you feeling? He says, what did you do to me? I said, no, I'm asking you how you're feeling. He said, no, what did you do to me? And I said, well, you know, it's just moving the vibrations in you. He said, I feel much better. He said, I feel like I'm alert. And and you could actually see the physical change, because Mum had noticed it, that his face seemed brighter. And I said, well, that's good. And he said, yeah, and it's funny the color I chose as well, because it wouldn't have been one I chose. And I said, but did it make sense to you? He said, oh, yeah, sure. You know, like it's blow this kind of stuff off. Like, oh, sure, yeah. So he gets off and he sort of hops away. And I said, but before you go, I said, your mum knows how to do this. So if in the future something like this happens, or you want it, you can ask her to do it. And of course, again, it's like kids, oh, sure, okay. And then he's just off, kind of thing. But we both saw that transformation within him in just a few moments. And it was really lovely, because as a kid, he didn't want to be sitting there for ages. He wanted to go and watch the TV now. There was kids' programs on TV, and that's what he wanted to do. So he went and laid there, but he was much brighter and much more not feeling yicky sick. And I know, if you've got a tummy where you're feeling really sick, it's like all you want to do is just lay there, and sometimes please take me is the expression I would use. You know, the electrolytes in my body are, you know, the coconut water's not working. The dry toast is definitely something I don't want to eat, and all those kind of things. And it's like, oh, please make this go away. So, you know, that was an experience. And then one of my students had said that their teenage son, who was had been out partying all night, as she put it. And we know where that goes. Come on, we were young ones. And he had to go to work the next day, but when he woke up, he was hung over. And he knew that his mum had done this therapy and did it on others. So he said, Mum, you got to fix me. Mom, you've got to fix me. And she laughed because she said, he said that new thing that you've been trying on all of us, you know, because I always say to everyone, once they finish, you know, go home and keep work with people that you know, and then, you know, get the feedback kind of thing. Because this vibrational energy therapy works on different things. It doesn't just work on a headache. I always say it clears the fog. It reattunes and realigns all those meridian points in the body to get it all connected and working the way it should for us. So anyway, she did the treatment, and, you know, he said, because he had to go off to work, and he was looking very dog-eared, to say the least. So she did the 5 minutes with him, and he went off to work, and she said he bounced out of the door because, like kids, he hadn't aligned himself for the time kind of thing. So off he went, and she said he came back, and he was bouncing off the walls when he came back after he'd done his shift at work. So he said, you know that thing you did on me this morning, it really worked. He says, I'll use it again when I need to. So here's my hangover cure. So I love those the feedback and those kind of things, because that's the realness of this. Now, for other people, it can just be, I feel relaxed, I feel more centered, I feel awake or alert. So, you know, those are extremes, as I call it. But, you know, sometimes we have those extremes that come in when we're doing healing for others through whatever modality we do. So it's really that whole thing. So you're getting the tapping, the touching, this very, what I call, gentle effluage of movement across the upper half of the body. And, you know, some say, well, what if somebody can't bear touch? Then it can be done on the auric field, because it's still connected to our energy. We've talked about chakras. We've talked about auric fields and things. You know, it's very much there. So, and it resonates with the person. The music is just bringing them to a theta level. So that's just above sleep state. We go into theta level when we're meditating. And that's why some people, when they're in a meditation, you know, especially if it's one, you know, I've had sometimes when I'm doing a meditation class or something like that, it takes a while to grab somebody back because they're off in that theta level. They're there in their zen, and I can see they don't want to come back. But for the rest of the class, they do have to come back, because that's the end of the meditation. And I always say to people afterwards, you know, I'm sorry I had to bring you home kind of thing. But now you know how to get back there again. You can do this on your own and stay there as long as you want. Obviously, in safe conditions and that kind of thing. Because I have actually had somebody say to me, can I meditate while I'm driving? I said, you can, but you may not live long. You may not live long, really. That is a bit like putting, you know, tinfoil into the microwave and switching it on. They're those kind of things that you can do, but they have adverse responses or happenings with them. So, no, you cannot meditate while driving or using machinery. And I always say it's not good to meditate if you've had alcohol either, or if you're on prescription drugs of any psychotic or psychedelic way. Because it's not a good space to be in. You can do it. People will do it. But, you know, I know this sounds silly, but on my meditation music or my meditations, when people buy them, it has a little disclaimer on it. Do not use while driving. And I know that sounds absolutely incredulous to have to put that on there. But that's why? Because there are still some people out there that would think it's okay. So, you know, and I don't quite do it at the beginning of my meditations, but I do try to emphasize, you know, to people, you know, find a quiet, comfortable spot where you're not going to be interrupted. You're away from any, you know, pinging, tinging, moving objects or whatever. And you're just sitting comfortably so you can close your eyes in safety. And so, you know, and as I say, I'm sorry, we do live in a lifetime where sometimes stupidity should not be rewarded, but we very careful to let people know all those parameters, you know. So anyway, stupidity in my world, I always say to people, will not be rewarded.
Exactly. Well, Debbie, we're coming to a close. Oh my God, I don't know where this starts. Wow. We may have you on again.
Oh, wow. Well, we can definitely pick up another conversation.
Yes. So, Debbie, where can people find more more about you, your docs, your courses, your work?
Yeah, go to my website, vibrational-energy.com. On the landing page, on the very top, it says start here. And on that page is the podcast that I'm on, like this one, my weekly readings, which you can listen to and subscribe to, my newsletter, how to download the mobile apps for free, and also get access to purchasing my decks or readings or courses. And as I said, the vibrational energy therapy course is available as an online course, and so you can work it through your at your own pace through videos and meditations and connections and that kind of thing. So yes, and everything else is on there, like connecting with me on social media as well. So vibrational-energy.com.
Well, Debbie, it was a pleasure. Thank you for coming back on the show. I always enjoy our conversations. I definitely think we had more stuff to cover, but we just
absolutely
didn't.
I'm looking forward to it. And thank you. It was a great honor being invited onto your show, and a second time as a repeat offender. I love that. Thank you.
It's three times a charm. So we'll definitely have to schedule something. Well, this is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. May the angels carry you through to next week. Take care, everybody.
Look upon.